presented by Omni Nashville Hotel and Goggin Code Hall. Do the honors, John.
Yeah, we're going to welcome a good buddy of mine, Paul Zeiss from 93.7 The Fan. He's the evening sports talk show host there, my old station. We used to work together, and of course, he's a sports columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, formerly the Pitt football beat writer for that same publication. And we're trying to get some insight into this Rashad Weaver situation. Paul, good morning. Thanks for joining us, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, John?
Well, I'm a little confused, Paul, and you've known me for a long time, so that's nothing new. But we're trying to figure out, you know, a couple of things. Obviously, are the allegations against Rashad Weaver true, number one? And number two, what did the Titans know and when did they know it? Now, they came out and said, hey, we didn't know anything until the story came out on Monday. Your paper, the Post-Gazette, came out with the story on Monday. Had there been any rumblings? I know you used to cover the Pitt football program, and obviously, you know, your station is the home of Pitt football, 93.7 The Fan. Had there been any indications of something like this going on before the draft, these allegations against Rashad Weaver?
No, not really. I mean, I think the thing about it is, it was a summons that was sent out. So it wasn't like they arrested him or, you know, it wasn't like they issued a warrant. It was a summons. They actually sent him a summons and, with the charges. So I really do believe that, the teams and pretty much everybody else didn't know about this until after the draft, because they sent the summons out on Friday.
Right.
And I got a tip about it Monday morning. First thing Monday morning was when I got the tip about it. I talked to our Pitt beat reporter and said, you know, you might want to look into this. And, of course, it turned into, you know, it was true. So I take the teams at their word that they didn't know about it. My gut tells me if they knew about it, he probably would have slid further in the draft, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that they're lying when they say they just found out about it, because, again, it wasn't an arrest warrant. It wasn't in a situation where it was an arrest. It was a summons that was sent out, and apparently the female involved, you know, the alleged victim or whatever, said apparently she didn't make a statement until like the day before that. So,
okay.
It looks to me like this was one of those things that just sort of bad timing, or, you know, maybe good timing for Weaver, because nobody knew about it till after the draft.
Paul, hey, how you doing? Greg Pogue, give me some sympathy that I have to put up with John every morning. And he was telling me some things about you we can't air, so we'll leave it at that, all right?
Certain trip to Iowa comes to mind.
Did he ever tell you the story? Did he ever tell you the story where we traumatized an Iowa waitress?
All right. Okay. We'll close with that, okay? We don't want to get a...
Yeah.
Hey, you're a writer. We don't need to bury the lead just yet, okay?
Okay, good.
But we definitely want to hear it, because you out of your mouth said Iowa the same time he said Iowa.
So yeah, there's we had an adventure.
I want to know about that. My question is, it's the time framing of it from the initial incident to nothing happened. Then it even there's two things. One that comes from that. One, a quote, whether he's completely innocent, that the officer wrote in his report, that paraphrasing, that I have no problem hitting a female if they need it. That's paraphrasing, but in essence. And then from that night till her being checked out for a concussion 3 or 4 days later, and then April 30th, some almost two weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
The charges come. That those kind of things get me in a timeline frame of, and also I do, you know, for everything that one of the officers said, he saw no injuries that were indicative of her being hit. So we know that, but the timeline interests me, that how it took so long for it to get to even the summons being issued.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, there's, again, I don't know what is in people's heart or in their minds, but obviously there are some theories that it was sort of, this is something, I guess this is a female acquaintance of his or whatever. She apparently just found out she was pregnant or something, but just talking to a number of people around the situation, the feeling is that she sort of waited to make sure she didn't hurt his draft stock, but made sure she got something on the record so that when he, you know, gets that first check, she could have a piece of it. Those are the allegations. That's what people around the situation have told me, you know, and I don't know. I mean, it sort of makes sense. By the same token, John, as you know, this sounds to me like a typical night in the South Side.
You know?
I mean, anything that comes out of the South Side is going to be something like this. It sounds like two people that had too much to drink and acted the fool in the streets, you know, and so the cops, you know, probably looked at it and said, well, nobody's dying, nobody's shot, nobody's run over by a car, so this is nothing. We'll just deal with it tomorrow, you know, because it's a district, as you know, and I can tell you this, the place where they're at, the Foxtail, nothing good comes out of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a place where a lot of athletes hang out, and it's the kind of place, John, as you know, because I'm sure, you know, back in your 20s, like the rest of us, you got it in. I mean,
sure.
It's the kind of place where the girls wear shoes they can't really walk in, and outfits that are, you know, five sizes too small. And, you know, if you're a fella that has got anything at all going on, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Right.
So it's one of those kind of places, you know. And I always use a joke that that's the kind of place that you go in, you got, you know, condoms in one pocket and penicillin in the other. So the bottom line is that's just the kind of place where there's always nonsense and foolishness going on, if you know, because dudes like to show out in front of women, and you know how it is. It's
right.
Crazy.
Especially a guy that's about to get drafted and make millions of dollars, right?
That's the thing that I would quit. Number one, the quote that you said about him saying to the officer something about hitting a woman, that would make me really question, you know, his judgment and also, you know, the sensitivity about such things right now. I don't know if the Titans could just ignore that regardless of what happens to the charges. But the other thing is, you're 10 days away from being drafted. And again, I think guys should be able to live their life and do their thing, but why in the hell are you in a place like Foxtail at 2:00 or whatever? It just makes no sense to me because, you know, nothing great comes from that place.
Right. Paul Zeiss is our guest. Yeah, Paul Zeiss is our guest, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, my old station. I've known him forever. Also, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. See, here's the problem, right, as it pertains to the Titans. Number one, you had the Isaiah Wilson fiasco last year. They made this guy their first-round draft pick. He plays four plays. He's out of here. You had Kevin Dodd from a few years prior to that, and you're trying to, you know, the dust is just now settling from all that, and then this happens. And this guy's accused of striking a woman, and he's coming to a team, an NFL team, whose majority owner is a woman. So, you know, the Titans have a lot of egg on their face right now. So even if these charges are dropped, if that quote holds true, that may be cause to maybe rescind this draft pick. We're just trying to figure out what the Titans do, going forward. What did you know about Rashad Weaver, Paul? What kind of player is he, and what kind of kid was he that you knew of?
Well, I knew him. I actually got to know him a little bit because, as you know, I'm a columnist, so I cover all the teams in town. But more importantly, he was a teammate of my son. As you know, my son played at Pitt.
That's right.
You know, and graduated, you know, last year or whatever. And so, you know, he played with Rashad for a couple of years, and you know. He always told me that Rashad, you know, was a really good kid, like a, you know, good head on his shoulders, not a numbskull. And believe me, you know, Elijah played with a lot of numbskulls, but Rashad Weaver was not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Good kid, hard worker, a guy who really made himself into a star. You know, I mean, when you look back at when he was recruited and what he turned into was completely different. But you know, his work ethic. A guy that wanted to be good, you know, he's hungry to be good. Then he got injured, and that just fueled him even more. And, you know, Elijah told me, you know, his work in the room, you know, doing his physical therapy and then in the weight room to come back from that injury, you know, was absolutely impressive. So, I mean, by all accounts, he's a pretty good kid in terms of you know, I guess he's 20-something. He's an adult, but he's a pretty good guy, and he doesn't – this is, like, not something that you would expect from him. And so you have to sort of weigh all of the facts and weigh, you know, the entire story. And, again, I think you hit the nail on the head, John. If there wasn't a female involved in this, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. nobody would even be talking about this yet. Like I said, it'd be another night in the South Side.
Be like, oh, yeah, you got in a fight and whatever, right? Yeah.
The fact that there's a female involved means the Titans have to take it more seriously and have to really look into it and make sure that, you know, what he's accused of didn't actually happen. And I think that's going to be the part for them. Is investigating it to make sure that this guy, you know, didn't haul off and hit a pregnant girl in the middle of the night. Now, I will say this. The fact that they only charged him with simple assault and they sent a summons out leads me to believe that the cops, you know, look at this story and they're not really sure what they're looking at. And you know what I mean? Because often in a case like this, not that I would ever have, you know, experience with these kinds of things, but they would charge you with like a more serious crime.
Yeah, battery. And then like battery, right?
Yeah, something, and then have you try and plea it down so they can at least get a fine out of you. So here they started out with a fine. You know, the summons is basically, you know, not that much, you know, greater than a traffic ticket. So, you know, the only thing what they would be talking about is either throwing it out of court or reducing the fine from like $280 to say $150 or something. So that leads me to believe that it probably wasn't as serious of an incident as it reads. But again, with all of the sensitivity that we have, and I believe it, rightfully so, you know, about these kinds of incidents, you know, you hear pregnant woman, if you're the Titans, you have to take that really serious.
Well, you say simple assault. It was actually labeled misdemeanor. Simple assault. So, you know, even sure. more to your point. Yeah, I guess the thing what we're grappling with here, Paul, is that when did the Titans know? And we have to believe them because of what they say. And they sent out a release on Monday saying they didn't know until the report came out in your newspaper. But there better not be a paper trail. There better not be any other the other thing, because if you knew and did it, shame on you. If you knew and did it and then lied about it, shame times two.
And you got to go.
Yeah, ad infinitum. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
That's where we are right now, because we want to believe. But then again, you know, the vetting process, it has to have taken a hit in the COVID era, because you just can't get out and spend that much time. But then again, something like this, I mean, you just run through the police blotter, right? And he lives in Pittsburgh.
Right.
See if he's been arrested, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
I'd run through the police blotter.
Well, and I think that's the thing. Even if they did that, I don't think it showed up on.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Maybe till maybe Sunday night or something. Because, you know, when they file the charges, I guess Friday, then it has to go through a certain situation. So, you know what I mean? Like, and the other thing about it is, he's the kind of guy. He's the kind of kid, the kind of person. There would be no reason to, you know what I mean, think that you have to go through the police blotter.
Yeah.
Because he's not a kid that gets in trouble. I mean, I'm sure there are some guys where you want to check their files before you draft them, because you're just a little bit you know, nervous what you might find. But he, you know, by all accounts, is a good kid, has really never been in trouble, and, you know, all that other stuff that we talk about. And like I said, you know, my son played with a number of numbskulls down at Pitt.
Regardless,
he wasn't one of them.
All right.
You know?
Go ahead, Bob, but I want to get to this Iowa trip before we have to let you go.
Yeah,
tell
the Iowa story, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. John and I were in a restaurant in Iowa. We were covering Pitt versus Iowa out there. And a woman was the waitress. She kind of said to us, we really don't see, you know, we don't really see. And so I was like, you don't see what? She said, well, you know, like, the state of Iowa is only 1% Negro.
If Paul and I were sitting there looking at this waitress like, did she just say that?
What are you, like, you guys are in the zoo or something?
So I was going to say to John there at the start, I think that woman is still probably traumatized from the first time she ever saw two black guys together.
Right.
Paid the bill.
Hey, right. Yeah, we paid the bill. We were polite. We tipped, you know. Oh, that's a classic, my man. Oh my gosh.
What was your response?
We were so shocked. We just laughed it off because we were just like, okay, well, nice to meet you. We'll talk to you later. We just right, Paul?
Yeah, it was kind of like we laughed, and she was like, oh, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of realized that it was a little bit awkward, so she just sort of walked away and got her drink.
Well, all right.
Paul, thanks so much for coming on, and we really appreciate it, man. And I'll be up in Pittsburgh again soon. We'll bend the elbow, okay?
Absolutely, but we won't go to Foxtail.
No, we're not going to Foxtail. Thank you, Paul.
All right, my man. Be good. All right.